Thanks, everyone. The Premier, Deputy Premier and Treasurer of Tasmania, the Treasurer of Australia, the Leader of the Opposition and the Shadow Treasurer, ladies and gentlemen and colleagues, good evening. My name is Anthony Dickman and I'm the Secretary of the Reserve Bank. It is my very great pleasure to welcome you to dinner with the Reserve Bank Board at this wonderful venue at Prince's Wharf No. 1, despite the very cold weather outside. It's good to be indoors. Before I ask your host, Reserve Bank Governor Philip Lowe, and he's also Chair of the Reserve Bank Board, to make some remarks on behalf of the Board, I would like to acknowledge the Mui Nina and Palawa peoples, who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet. On behalf of everyone present, I would also like to pay respect to their elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any First Nations people who are present here this evening. I would now like to invite Governor Lowe to make his remarks. Thank you. I should say a community announcement. The bathrooms are a long way down that passageway, about a 1 kilometre walk. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anthony, and good evening, everyone. It's great to be finally back in Hobart. The last time the Reserve Bank Board had a meeting in Hobart was in 2016. We were due to come back here in April 2020, but something happened. And so it's taken us a couple of years to finally get back here. So it's great to be here, and on behalf of the Reserve Bank Board, I'd like to warmly welcome you to this dinner. This is the first time that the board has met outside Sydney since October 2019, more than 3 years ago. And we're really delighted that we're able to meet here in this beautiful and this historic city of Hobart. So thank you very much for taking the time to join us this evening. I know many of you might have been at Melbourne Cup functions earlier today, so it's a change of gear to come and have dinner with the Reserve Bank Board. So thank you for making the time to do that. Earlier today, the board held its monthly meeting in the Cabinet Meeting Room here in Hobart. Premier, I'd like to thank you very much for your hospitality. Your Cabinet Room was a fantastic place for us to discuss what's going on in the global economy, what's happening in the Australian economy, and to decide upon the level of interest rates in Australia. After our decision today, I hope you'll invite us back on another occasion. As you're probably aware by now, the board decided to increase the cash rate today by a further quarter of a percentage point to 2.85%. And I'd like to talk about the reasons why we made that decision in a few moments. As I said, the previous time we met here was back in April 2016. The economy was in a very different place then to where it's now. Inflation was below target, and it was surprising on the downside, remember that? Wages growth was very slow. The unemployment rate was close to 6%, and interest rates were trending lower, and the cash rate was at 2%. The global economy was doing okay, but it was a bit slow, but it was doing okay. So it's a reminder of just how much things can change in a few short years. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Washington, D.C. with the Australian Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, at the G20 and the IMF meeting, and it's great that Jim could join us today. And we last met in Washington, and we're meeting now in Hobart, so it's great to be together again. But Jim, those IMF and G20 meetings were pretty sobering, weren't they? We heard that inflation globally was too high. We heard that the rising cost of living was hurting households right around the world. We heard that the world was falling behind on its carbon reduction targets. We heard that war is once again tragically occurring in Europe. And we heard that the global economy is becoming more fragmented, with walls being built, not torn down. As you can imagine, there wasn't much cheer around. Even for someone like myself who wants to see the world as, or the glass is half full. I recount, though, the key themes of these meetings in Washington for a couple of reasons. The first is as a reminder of how difficult the global backdrop is at the moment. There's no escaping the fact that we're living through a very challenging period. The choices that we make in Australia during this challenging period will help shape our own destiny, but we can't ignore that difficult global environment. The second reason why I wanted to recount the messages from Washington is that as I listened to my colleagues there, my thoughts kept returning to the idea of how fortunate we are to live in Australia. We live in peace, and we enjoy a level of material prosperity that not many people around the world enjoy. Our economy has bounced back better than most from COVID, and as a country, we're now benefiting from the surge in commodity prices, in the prices of our key exports. And for the first time in 50 years, it is possible for us to say that most Australians who want a job can get one. We haven't been able to say that for 50 years. I think that's a very good thing to be able to say. Our public services are of generally high quality, and our public sector finances are in better shape than most other countries. And our natural assets mean that Australia is well positioned for the clean energy transition that we need to make. So we really do have a lot to be thankful for. I think it's really important to remember that. None of that's to deny that we face a pretty challenging period, but as I listened to the finance ministers and central bank governors in Washington, I kept thinking that I wouldn't want to trade our place for anyone else's. I think Jim had the same response. Today, the board heard how the Tasmanian economy has bounced back very well from COVID. Gross state product per capita in Tasmania has grown a bit more quickly than the other states, and the unemployment rate's the lowest it's been in many, many years. Visitor numbers are increasing and investment's on an upswing, with Tasmania to play an important role in the country's energy transition. On the other side of the ledger, as you know, household budgets are under stress. The rental market's very, very tight, and that makes it difficult for many people. And there are a lot of businesses who are finding it quite difficult to find the workers they need. Even so, it's important to remember that we are in a better position than many other people around the world. One challenge that's facing all Australians, including Tasmanians, is high inflation. Over the year to September, the inflation rate in Australia was 7.3%. That's the highest rate in more than 30 years. We're expecting it to go higher over the rest of this year and reach around 8% later in the year, before inflation starts to decline next year. We're expecting it to decline because the global supply side problems are being resolved, commodity prices are coming down in global markets, and our higher interest rates are leading to a slowdown in demand, so that we're going to get a better balance between supply and demand in the economy. I'd like to take this opportunity to assure you that the Reserve Bank Board is resolute in its determination to return inflation to the 2-3% range. We're committed to doing what's necessary to achieve that. At our meeting today, we discussed the damage that high inflation does to people, that it does to families and communities. It's a scourge on our society. High inflation devalues your savings. It worsens income inequality in our society, and it undermines our living standards. And it hurts us all by impairing the smooth functioning of our economy. It's for these reasons that the Reserve Bank Board will make sure that this episode of high inflation is only temporary. As the Treasurer said last week, inflation is the dragon we need to slay, and we will slay it. I understand that the higher interest rates that are needed to slay the dragon are unwelcome by many people, especially those who've borrowed a lot over the past couple of years. At our meeting today, we discussed how the higher interest rates are putting pressure on people's finances, just the time we're having to pay higher prices for fuel and groceries. So it's a difficult time for many people, and we talked about that at our board meeting today, and we're certainly taking that into account. But this morning we also discussed the consequences of not raising interest rates and allowing high inflation to persist and become entrenched in expectations. if this were to happen, the evil of inflation would be with us for longer, and the eventual increase in interest rates needed to bring inflation down would be even larger. This would increase the risk of a severe recession and a sharp rise in unemployment. It really is much better to avoid such costly outcomes, and the Borders Act did strongly to avoid those. I want to acknowledge, though, that we are travelling on a pretty narrow path. The board seeking to return inflation to 2 to 3% while at the same time keeping the economy on an even keel. I think it is still possible to do this, but there is a lot of uncertainty at the moment, and we could be knocked off that narrow path, particularly by events abroad. At our meeting, we also discussed an updated set of economic forecasts. The good news here is that our central case is we stay on that narrow path. Inflation comes back down to 2 to 3%. It takes a bit longer than we'd hope, but it does come back down, and we keep a relatively low unemployment rate in Australia, so we can stay on that narrow path. Economic growth, though, is expected to slow over the next year because of both the deterioration in the global economy and the squeeze on household finances that I spoke about. Our central forecast is the unemployment rate stays around where it is for a while, but then it starts to gradually drift up. Inflation's expected to decline from the start of next year and then take a couple of years to get back to 2 to 3%. And in the short term, the East Coast floods are having a material effect on fruit and vegetable prices, so we'll see that in the inflation data. And unfortunately, we're going to see very large increases in the price of gas and electricity next year, and that'll add to the inflation rate, and that means it's going to take a bit longer to get back to 2 to 3%. But the board's resolute in making sure that happens. To control inflation, the board's already increased interest rates very substantially, as you know. We moved in large half percentage point increases for 4 months, but in the past couple of months, we've moved back to the more standard quarter percentage point increases. The earlier large increases were required to move interest rates quickly away from their pandemic levels. Inflation emerged very quickly, and we had to respond to that to make sure that this period of high inflation is only temporary. As interest rates have moved back to more normal level, the board has judged that it's appropriate to move at a slower pace while we assess the data, while we assess the economic outlook, the global environment, and the impact of the rises in interest rates to date. We're conscious that interest rates have been increased very quickly and by a large amount, and that there is a lag in before they affect the economy. If we're to stay on the narrow path, we're very conscious we need to strike the right balance between doing too much and doing too little. Our central case is we stay on that narrow path, but there are risks. The board's base case is that interest rates will need to go higher still. We need to bring inflation back to target, and that, I think, will require higher interest rates, and our forecasts have been prepared on that basis. We're not on a preset path here, though. If we need to step up to larger increases again to secure return of inflation to target, we will do that. Similarly, if the situation requires us to hold steady from now, we will do that as well. Given the uncertainties around the outlook, we'll be watching very carefully how the economy and inflation pressures evolve over the summer. Finally, while it's interest rates that keep the Reserve Bank in the news, I hope you're aware that we do a lot more than just set interest rates. We are the banker to the Australian government, and we process all Social Security payments, all tax payments, and all Medicare refunds. We also operate the core of Australia's payment system. So when you send money from your bank to another bank, it goes through the Reserve Bank systems. We also operate a central part of Australia's 24/7 real-time payment system. I hope that you all have a PayID so that you can take best advantage of that system. And if you don't have a PayID, I encourage you tomorrow to go and get one. We also print Australia's banknotes. It comes as a surprise to many people just how many banknotes are out there. At the moment, the total value of notes on issue is just over $100 billion. So that's around $4,000 per person in Australia. $4,000 in banknotes per person in Australia is out there. And that's despite cash being used less and less for day-to-day transactions. And our analysis is that most of these banknotes are being held as a store of value. On average, there are 18 $100 notes and 38 $50 notes for every person in Australia. I know I don't have my share. I don't have 18 $100 notes and certainly not 38 $50s. And I don't know many people who do, or at least not many people who admit that they do. As interest rates have risen recently, I thought that the attractiveness of holding our polymer banknotes as a store of value might decline, but there's little sign of that yet. There's demand, still very strong demand for our banknotes. I think over time, as interest rates rise, people find more attractive ways of storing their wealth, but time will tell. The Reserve Bank is also responsible for the design of Australia's banknotes. Given this, we're currently considering the design of the $5 banknote following the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. We recognise that this is an issue of national interest, and there is a long tradition of the monarch being on Australia's banknotes. Indeed, the monarch has been on at least one of our notes since 1923, and up until 1953, the monarch was on every single one of our banknotes. Given this tradition and the national significance of the issue, the bank is consulting with the Australian government whether or not the new $5 banknote should include a portrait of King Charles III. We'll make a decision after the consultation with the government is complete. Hopefully that will be later this year. Again, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We very much look forward to the conversation around the dinner table and learning more about what's happening in the great state of Tasmania. Thank you very much.